down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm on?
You are.
Oh, let me turn off the radio now. I'm calling about the barrels at the port. I have, it's one down there with food stuff. I would like to know where they're going to get released.
You have to call the people at the port and find
Pardon
out.
Pardon me?
You would have to find out from the people at the port. But then again, I suppose you're putting it as a general question so that those who are involved can hear your concern and perhaps answer it otherwise.
I'm sorry, I'm concerned.
Pardon me?
I heard you.
All right, I say to you that clearly I can't answer the question, but I anticipate that the people who administer the port will answer your question at some point. You know, this is fluid, and we are in a situation where sometimes decisions are taken, but with the passage of time, depending upon what is happening, adjustments are made. We've made, as a country, we've made some adjustments already, and one can anticipate that others will be made, depending upon what is happening with the virus.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard choice between determining whether you're going to look at the health component of it more than you're going to look at this economic point of view, which is being advanced by some people.
Yes, please. Listen, hello?
Yes.
So we have to wait until the port send out messages?
You just have to wait until the port makes an announcement about what it is going to do.
With that. The minister has something to do with that.
Well, indirectly, if the virus increases, if you get more positive cases, then it will have implications for that. Okay? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
I am well, thanks. And you?
I'm okay.
All right. My issue today is with Shorpay. I went to Shorpay on Saturday morning, the one at Massey and Warren. And I got in that line at 8 o'clock in the morning. When I joined the line, I was by Lucky Horseshoe. The teacher went long. Make a long story short, when I get like four persons from being called in, the lady that went in, she came back and she said, well, I feel I should tell you all because we were all involved in conversation in the line for so long. Do I'm going to lunch. I didn't know if to laugh or cry, because I thought she was making sport. But the gentleman from Massey came up with a bullhorn and he said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the young lady has to go to lunch for an hour. What I am telling Shorpay today, I think in this atmosphere, that was seriously wrong because you would appreciate they had to move from the back of the supermarket. They are now located where the deli would have been. Only one cashier working. I asked the gentleman, well, normally the deli, there are two cashiers. He said, the space. But I don't see logic because you are sending in three persons at a time. So what they could look at is opening the other cashier and sending in two people that can get look at one time. And to me, that will melt that learn to move fast. A lot of people focus me right now on negative, but I want to give big props to how much moving to. I am impressed with the level of care that I have seen exercise for the workers with the shoes on the face, the not only the see-through glass to protect you from the cashier, but then the other cashier now, the person will have to pass near that person that got up a curtain to be that serious care for your worker and for us too, because we can only look at it that they're protecting them from us. We have to look at it that they're protecting us from them too. Because to me, you don't know who carrying this virus. Another thing, with the same line that we are encountering, right? I would have stayed up in that sun from 8 o'clock until after 1. When I left my seat, it was 25 to 2. And a woman came up to me and she said, "Sweet girl, you could pay my bill. I tell you, you got a problem. Are you touching your bill? Because you got to look at it this way. You don't know if this person got it. Are you going to handle them bills? And you don't know nothing about this woman. So while you are trying to be nice, you might be endangering yourself and the lives of your family. So I'm making a plea for SurePay to get it right. Because I'm impressed with the number of persons who want to pay the bills to begin with. Because people crying at this time. So I just thought I would call in so that if SurePay is listening, it would do something to ease us. Because if you check it, my letter was C. I had to leave home the morning early with my brother because he's W. And I didn't want to catch number. So I would have been like one of the first persons with my letter to be seen. And then SurePay shall not treat. So the people who had to come out from 1 to 4, a lot of them, they didn't get the bills paid.
Well, that's your experience, and thanks for sharing it with us. Dr. Brastax, hello? Somebody else says here that the New Zealand model is worthy of examination. The emphasis was based on elimination and not containment. The government's policy of moving from stage 1 to stage 4 was aggressive and proactive. Hence, the results that New Zealand has been able to see there. I mean, if we had to test more people in Barbados, then I suppose the logical question is, what is the prospect for getting more of the test kits and more of the swabs? You know, because that remains the constraint if you don't have enough of those to do the testing. It is also absolutely essential that healthcare workers be tested as much as possible, because they are the ones who are really on the front line, among those on the front line, because others point out too that policemen are on the front line, and they need to be better protected with PPEs and that sort of thing, because of the very concern that we have right now, that we do not know who is walking about with that particular virus in the community. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hey, Ms. Ellis, good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I want to draw your attention to two things. I believe that you and I are well aware that the pandemic has caused certain things to be put in place in relation to washing of your hands and also the social distancing. But there's something that is happening now that I don't believe it should be condoned. An appeal should be out there to stop it. People are disposing of the masks anywhere and anytime. That is to say that you're supposed to wear your mask and probably dispose of it, but you don't need to dispose of your mask on the road, the gutters of the road where people have to pass. So I think that people got to be more alert and more conscious and more thinking in just taking off a mask and disposing of it at that manner. So I'd like to hear an appeal in relation to that. Asking people to be more concerned as far as the mask is concerned. I know that you wouldn't condone that, I guess.
You know me well.
The other thing that I want to be short on, I think we need to compliment the Queen Elizabeth Hospital on the system that they've had to put in place, all because of the virus. Now, I am an old patient of the eye clinic. I heard the guy this morning spoke about his grandmother. And the eye clinic normally give you a 3 months or 2 months appointment date. Normally, instead, when you go to the eye clinic, you don't be the only person there. Sometimes there are 30, 40, 50 people waiting to be seen. So I think in taking that into consideration, one of the things would mean that you can't accommodate 40 or 50 people in the outpatient, the clinic of the hospital, clinic, or even down in the other area. So I believe that those persons were told, just like I was told, because they had to have two change of dates, that in case of emergency, you'll report back, and if there's anything that could be done, they'll do it. But emergency cases are those that they'll be looking at during this time of COVID-19. Now, I know that even with the pharmacy department, I went there last week, and I must compliment the system where you... I've been checked there with the nurse, with the security guard. You're given the number to go in, but you will not go in until the guy who is given the numbers will check on the inside to find out how far the numbers are. And being honest with you, it was only a matter of four or five people in front of me, and I got in and got out quite well. That is to say that anyone who's familiar with the pharmacy department will tell you that sometimes every chair, every space in those, and I still consider, if you're talking about distance, social distancing, then you have to think, the hospital have to think in terms of separating the outpatient patients from those who are generally part of the hospital system. So I think I compliment them, and I think that persons who receive instructions, and the instructions are that you will be looked at. This is a case of emergency. It's just a matter of getting involved with the department of which you need to get in contact with, and they will advise you where to go or what to do.
Okay, Mark. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Yeah. How are you today?
I'm okay.
Right. Okay. I must preface my thing. It was really heart-wrenching to hear Minister Forsythe with that NAB report of the COVID situation. I hope that everything is going to remain favorable and turn out well for herself and the NAB and all Barbados. And I know they're going to work around the clock to bring it to some clear understanding as to what is happening to relieve any kind of fear that would emanate from it. Ms. Foley, wish you well and keep focus. Ms. Ellis, I want you to grant me a favor. Whenever I finish my presentation today, I want you to refer to... You were interviewing a lady from Long Island. A nurse called you a Saturday night or something from Long Island. Some extract. Can you remember that lady, that nurse?
Can't remember exactly. Well, what about it?
It was so clarion and clear when she says she wanted to come back home, and they begged her not to come back home, and she was begging Barbados not to get overwhelmed, like in her situation there in Long Island. And when she spoke about the morgue full and the news in the...
I remember the call you're talking about.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Right. If you can get that extra and let persons that call in and asking for Barbados to open back up and whatever, let them evaluate that with what they're asking for. Because I want the Prime Minister to err on his side of caution. The world. You remember I said to Mr. Paul Davis last week, the questions sent to me, it can't answer, the world can't answer. Somebody, you're not a soothsayer. You're not clairvoyant. And they're asking all kind of questions, Mr. S, to answer. You cannot answer those questions. That man, this gentleman just spoke about the shutdown of the Airbus company and thing. Everybody's fighting for survival. This is one of the worst things that's happened in the world in the last 100 years. And you can't provide no answers. The world can't provide no answers. Everybody at the wait saying. And persons are talking about open back up, open back up. And the head, the World Health Organization, those people are cautioning and begging. Only one country or something is veering off and say they open up. But they don't know this thing is mutating. The mutation of this virus, they don't know what the next move, what the next twist it will make and what have you. Do not gravitate to this hurrying to open back up and thing and tread cautiously in your every movement, Ms. Motley.
Well, there are so many implications associated with this disease and what it is doing to society. if you listen, you will hear the story of a young 23-year-old Jamaican girl. If you look at the Jamaica Gleaner today, it says that a major squabble has erupted between two Kingston hospitals over whether the death of a 23-year-old delivering mother was caused by a panic breakdown in COVID-19 patient protocols by a medical team at the St. Andrews Memorial Hospital. The article goes on to say that while the Ministry of Health and Wellness has launched an investigation into the incident, Andrews has denied culpability, pointing a finger in the direction of the University Hospital of the West Indies for not answering appeals for assistance. Andrews has also blamed a team of anesthesiologists working with the woman's gynecologist for refusing to engage, note, because of fears that the patient might have had COVID-19. She later tested negative. So these are the consequences. Because as you can also take into consideration, as somebody pointed out here, the doctors are also people too. Many of them are not young doctors. They are older doctors. And they're vulnerable to the same comorbidities as other people in the society. So there is that fear. They've looked at what's been happening in the United States, and there has been a clear impact on the medical professionals there. So don't believe that we in the Caribbean are completely spared. Now, what happens here is that we don't have the spotlight on this in the way that you would have it in the United States, because the society is one where people tend to cover up a bit more and hide these things as much as possible. But on the ground, you know whether you can find your GP or not these days, you know? And it will have implications for the care of people at various levels within the society, but also the fear that exists among the people who are on the front line, as we say. Down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program. You are on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Is it morning? Is it good afternoon?
It's afternoon. It's 12:24.
Hi, Mr. Ellis. This is Erica Lazar, the communications officer for the Barbados Development Authority.
Yes, you need to tell us what's happening with Tamis. We had complaints about this since Friday.
Somebody asked a question this morning. Can you tell me exactly what it was?
The concern here, the person was suggesting that, as far as they're concerned, the extended timeline for submitting income tax returns is going to be shot by the fact that people cannot access TAMIS, and they want to know from your agency what exactly is the problem that you are facing. Some people say they get on, but it is real slow. Others say they can't access it at all, and they feel that Bara should really tell the public what is the situation with it, whether there's a timeline that you have in mind for trying to have it working more efficiently.
Okay, so last week we did have some lagging. It was a bit slow for some people, but we have since added some additional capacity, and it is much faster now. I just actually tested it myself, and it's very quick. So it probably was last week, a little bit earlier last week, when the persons were having the issue, but we fixed that. But the problem getting to log on, it sounds like the person doesn't know their username, because if you don't know your username, you can't reset your password, because you need to have that and your email address. So what I would advise them to do is to send an email to our customer service at bramail@bra.gov.bb, and they can reset for them and give them a new password to you.
Okay, well, are you in a position to stay with us? Well, we're going to the news now, so you wouldn't really have a lot of time, but tell us, in the limited time that we have, what impact has this COVID-19 had on your operations this year?
Oh, dear. Well, we are definitely on skeleton staff right now. So we only have a few people working, those who have laptops available at home with the VPN. The VPN allows us to access the system in the back end. So only some people have that. Our customer service personnel, that's why I gave you that email address, because they're trying to respond to people via that medium. And our payment centers, we had to shut them, obviously, because of COVID, but we reopened them last week, Wednesday, but just two. So just Warren and Weymouth is open right now from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. So we are at a limited capacity right now, but we're still allowing people to make payments online with their bank transfer. And all that information is on the BRA website and our social media pages. So if you don't want to come, then pay using your online bank transfer option.
Clearly, you are facing a situation where there are perhaps more queries today than you would normally have because of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you reorganized things to accommodate that, especially in light of the fact that you are facing this situation where you have skeleton staff?
Yeah, it's tough. I'm not going to lie to you, Mr. Ellis. It is tough. But even myself, we're trying to work around the clock. Our IT and our customer service are trying to work around the clock as best as they can to facilitate everybody. I myself have given myself the ability to do password reset. So any of them that I get on social media, I reset as well, and to be sure that other people have the passwords to get into their accounts. Mm-hmm. Other people are doing the same. And our account section right now is working full tilt to get those payments in, because as you know, this is a precarious time right now, and as much income that the government can get at this time is good for everybody. So we're working as hard as we can. It may take a couple of days sometimes if you need to get a reset, but we will get to you. We will get to you, and that is why we made sure that there was an extension, because we want to make sure that everybody can file their returns. But in terms of the system and the lagging, that has been fixed.
Okay.
It's now very quick, so there should be no problems.
Right. We got to go to Starcom Network News now. If you have more to say, then you can come back after the news. On the brass tacks. Hello. Welcome to the program.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm calling with regards to the people who are insisting or suggesting that the country be opened back up and the economy be opened back up. What I'm saying is, when it's opened back up, what is going to happen to people like me who work directly with tourism? If the guests don't come, I don't work. So for a country that is so dependent on tourism, lots of us are working and waiting for things to happen. If we are open and other countries where our guests are coming from are not open, we are in the same boat. So why would we endanger everyone for the sake of a few? And I don't mean to be disparaging like the gentleman, but why can't we just cool it, let the Prime Minister and those who are advising her and working with her do what they need to do, make sure that we are good and clean and safe with proper systems in place, so that when our guests start to come back to the shores, not only they are safe, but we who work directly with them are safe also. Because my last set of guests left on the 21st, and I accompanied them to the airport, and I was so conscious of the many, many people who were being repatriated. My husband works with me also, and his father is elderly. And I insisted that he did not come with me and to stay with his father for 2 weeks to make sure that I hadn't contracted anything that he would take back to his father. So it's all fine and good for us to say open back up, but most of us work in the tourism industry. So when we are open, a lot of us still have to wait until things happen.
That's you, but there are others who are into export and that sort of thing, import and export, and they would not be similarly affected.
But for those who can work, who especially for those who will make a positive impact on the economy, yes, once they come up with a way that it can be done safely, fine and good. But most of us, as I said, a lot of us, Barbados's economy is highly dependent on tourism. So even if we rush and open up, as everybody say, there are lots of us who are still going to be home until, you know, things start again in other economies.
Well, it is a difficult choice that the country has to make at the moment. But I think the government has, from the very beginning, said that it would be guided by the health professionals. And they are the ones who are saying that based on what they have been seeing and hearing, it is dangerous to reopen the economy prematurely.
And I totally agree with that. So that's what I'm talking about. So I'm saying, so some of us may be insisting, you know, let's open up, why is it closed or whatever. Those of us who have no choice are sitting and waiting patiently, knowing when it is ready, when it is safe, it will be opened again.
Well, you have that view, and then you have the view of the people similar to this fellow who called us earlier, who feel that the price that we are going to pay for the lockdown is going to be long, deep, and hard. And I think President Trump has been saying that, even though in recent times he has kind of moderated his stance a bit. I suppose listening to the people who are the health professionals, they are prevailing upon many that it is going to be a potentially dangerous thing. And most important in all of this has to do with the fact that we just don't know how many people are carrying the virus within the community.
And we don't know how many people will be coming in with it, both in the tourism industry, that we can get another explosion.
Another wave, as has happened in other countries. But surely, any time we talk about reopening to the point where people can come and go as they like, then the quarantine and other measures to keep an eye on them would have to be significant. So
exactly.
A lot depends not only on what is happening here, but also what is happening elsewhere.
Exactly.
In England, especially in England and in the United States, and very importantly, among our CARICOM neighbors.
I totally agree. So, I mean, yes, I want to go back to work and everything, just like everyone else, but I am all for let's do what is right, let's see where we can go before we rush and open anything. And that's just my contribution today, Mr. Ellis.
Okay, this person writes to me and says that they are stranded in Fort Lauderdale, and no one can indicate when flights will resume. So I assume that this is a Barbadian who is saying this. Down to brass tacks, hello. Welcome to the program. You're on the air, hello. 4341790. You know that back on April 21st, the director of the Pan American Health Organization called for accelerated and expanded testing for COVID-19 in the countries of the Americas. And she said, we need a clearer view of where the virus is circulating and how many people have been infected in order to guide our actions. She went on to say that countries have been prepared to test and detect cases of COVID-19 since before the pandemic was declared. Since February, PAHO had trained and equipped laboratories for PCR testing in more than 30 countries. But as cases have increased, countries have found it increasingly difficult to keep up. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I'm well, and you?
All right. I'm afraid that we were speaking on the water, and they would like us to go back there. But before we go there, I want to leave two things with you. Now, you saw an article in the paper over the weekend by Professor Howard?
Yes.
Right. And it's calling for a cat in the cabinet. Now, you know that on the other side of the election, there were some mantras calling for reducing it down to 9 and the Prime Minister, and some calling for down to 12 and the Prime Minister, or 12 including the Prime Minister. But somehow it was increased by 9. And the choristers seem to be satisfied with that. They're not singing anymore. So I'm here patiently waiting to see what will be the outcome of this. But I would suggest that if they don't want to cut the minister, that they can cut the salaries in half, because right now, only half the country running. So you can charge that.
Well, I think that we had this discussion long before the COVID-19, and we certainly there was that body of opinion. You heard the Prime Minister respond to it and say that many hands make light work.
But now
it's
that there's only
going to be
work.
Interesting to see how the Prime Minister responds to that type of call, because the circumstances have gotten even more difficult, and certainly we are at the point where there are many who would see some validity in the call for the government to readjust in light of the fact that there are so many people in this country now who are being asked to bear so much more of a sacrifice. So it really puts the government in a position where I think it will have to respond to this one way or the other.
Because you could even look at it that without tourism, that you could lay off the tourism minister.
Well, I'm not getting into that kind of analysis. The analysis is a difficult comment to respond to in light of the fact that you will have to work doubly hard to bring tourism back. So I don't understand. That has, you know what that is laced with.
You can leave it alone.
But the more significant point to me is that it is that of sacrifice by so many people, and it is that of example. How are you going to set an example to the rest of a country that is really reeling under really significant pressure? All right, so.
Right.
Anyhow, what's the other point? If
around
you're still
this time, so last year, coming into the final month of the first year, I asked you to get some economists and let us look at the level of taxation before the election and at the end of the first year. You said it was a good idea. I remind you, and you never get it done. Now, we're within the final month, now the second year. See if you can get it done and let us look at it.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Good afternoon.
Yeah. Good day to you, by the way. Over the years, the concern of nationalists, for the want of a better word, coming to Barbados via a work permit request that is put in the paper, sometimes in a very hidden area, and that has been incurring the wrath of many people who feel that they would have been qualified for the particular position. I'm checking here in yesterday's Sunday Sun, a story by Maria Bradshaw, page 8A, where I'm not going to read the entire thing. I trust that you would have read it before. And the various former employees of Corbless Cave Hotel are calling on the Immigration Department and the Ministry of Labor to investigate. Corbless Cove Hotel, yeah. To investigate the recent hiring of a non-national at a time when 95% of the staff had been laid off. You would have read the story.
Yeah.
Right. I would really like someone to address that issue, because it's not now a case of someone just coming in to fill a position where the manager or the corporate body feels that somebody locally can't fill it. But it's coming against the background of having an entire staff of, I think, a number of people being laid off, and someone coming in to do something, well, sorry to be sound naive, but something to do with accounts. I think that the immigration office has a responsibility to address the issue. The Maria would have touched base with the manager who seemed to have moved on to another hotel, and the workers are out of a job, and here you have someone coming in to do something which I'm sure the Conks organization here, I guess, should be able to supply someone to do that work. I do not necessarily like to ask from moderators what they think, but it would be good if you could put a position on it.
Well, in principle, I certainly would support the idea of trying to have Barbadians in jobs that are available in this country. And in circumstances where you have so many people under pressure right now, it can easily and well be argued that there's got to be somebody in the country who can do that job without having to bring someone in. I don't know all the pressures that the authorities face sometimes from those who are owners of properties in the country. And sometimes I suppose they may be faced with a situation where you have to balance giving a job to one person as opposed to losing several jobs that Barbadians currently have. Sometimes it plays out like that. But I would support, and certainly have supported for quite some time, the idea that you look to have Barbadians in those jobs in circumstances where others are filling jobs that Barbadians cannot fill at the moment for whatever reason. Then it's about training people to take them there.
If you even look at the circumstances, because this guy is coming in as we are trying to battle, you know, the COVID-19. They said it comes somewhere. It came in on March 19th, and this is certainly an issue for the Ministry of Health, which it was reporting the story that the Ministry of Health were aware of his arrival. You know, however you look at this story, I think it needs some type of official response from the Ministry of Health, and certainly from the immigration department, because we cannot allow these things to happen, you know, if you want to say in the dead of the night, because everybody's attention is being focused on the COVID-19, and we really can't afford to allow people to come into the country like this. But before I go, I would want Barbadians to really start rethinking how they're going to deal with our affairs in terms of the type of jobs that we want to focus on. We have to reimagine how we are going to go about rebuilding our economy after this COVID crisis.
Well, you know, you need to deal with the Barbadian culture first. What is the Bajan culture? How has it changed? How resistant to change is it? And will COVID make any difference if there is too much resistance to change? There are a lot of people in the country who talk and behave as though the country owes them something. They don't owe the country anything. You know that.
Fair enough. But I was looking at the bigger picture, because whilst our culture might not really, we might not want to change our culture, what is going to be happening on the outside world would make us have to change our approach to how we do things.
How different is that from what was happening before?
COVID causes death. It's not that you can now open your borders to immigrate to the commercial flights again. The hotels have to be rethinking how they're going to interact with their guests.
I can just imagine the employer saying to someone who is difficult that they want them to put in more effort and stuff like that. And the person says to them, listen, I survived COVID and I will survive you. You know, I can, there are some people like that. I'm not saying it's the majority. What I'm saying is that we have a sizable chunk of the population that thinks that way and talks
right.
That way.
Fair enough. But my final thing, though, is that I think, and as you said, you don't want to put everything on government. But I think that there has to be a paradigm shift. That is some word that they used years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there now, we will have to see how we are going to be looking after our environment. We're going to have to start, the hoteliers will have to start thinking of how they, what kind of buildings they're going to build. You know, our young people have to start looking at these sciences now more seriously. Our creatives now have to start thinking, you know, with much better, a wider view of trying to influence the world. And another thing, which I, and this might sound very simple, but I would really love to see our Ministry of Education insisting that every child in the classroom speak standard English and learn a foreign language. I know we did that, we went that road before, but I am saddened that the type of ability, the lack of ability to speak properly by people who create things and are unable to sell them effectively because they do not have the facility to speak well, and I'm not talking about putting on any accent. I'm speaking about articulating something in clear and internationally accepted language. I think too many of our people, even on the radio stations, you have people who abuse the English language. You think now that it's acceptable to talk raw and not knowing that we are interacting with people on the international scene. You have people who are in the who are doing these online radio shows and whatnot, and they're speaking as if they're speaking for some person through the alley, and so we have to really start reshaping our focus in terms of trying to interact with the world, because we now have to present a different perspective, and we got to go on a different platform, if you want to say, to make people realize that Barbados is serious about going forward.
Well, I'll leave that comment and let it stand on its own, but when dealing with the theme of change, I want you to also realize this. I say we have to look on the positive side, but we also have to anticipate the negatives that can come out of this experience. We have seen this world change in such a significant way that 1% of this world's population control over 80% of the world's wealth. We can look at each country around us, including Barbados, and you can see a small group of people who already have so much. It is true that many of them will share with people and that sort of thing, but there is something that drives many, and it is the more I have, the more I want. And what we are likely to face coming out of all of this is a strengthening of the position of the haves against the have-nots. Across the world, it is likely to happen. Why? Because the people with the money are the ones who are able to move in when the weak fall, and they are the ones who are able to take what they have, pay them for what they've got, and strengthen their own positions. And we have to look at what we have been seeing in recent times, the extent to which it will reorder the whole world order. Now, we were in a situation prior to COVID where Caribbean countries were talking about more South-South cooperation. Now, to me, COVID will hasten that. But the big question will be, to what extent has it strengthened the strong so that they can put even more pressure on countries like ours? You see, that big picture is going to be very interesting. So it is not only how you can reorient your economy and what you can do right, but because you are in a world where the big players still dictate what must happen, you know. And sometimes when you are bold enough to tell them you disagree with the way that they do things, they hammer you, put pressure on you. So that's where we are. Thank you very much.